Praise the Lord that you're with us today. We appreciate you joining us every time you can. This is an uplifting word broadcast that Dolores Fields and James Fields are bringing to you. We always go to the Word. So today we want to go to the Word and share with you choosing to love. Choosing to love. When Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem and Israel, the Roman Empire controlled the country we call Israel. In fact, the Roman Empire controlled most of the known world a couple of thousand years ago. Roman soldiers were everywhere. They were an occupying force. I'm sure the apostles sometimes burned with anger as they watched these soldiers march down the road or supervise the synagogue. But one thing I'm sure they really resented was a Roman law that demanded non-citizens of the Roman Empire to carry the equipment of Roman soldiers. The Roman law was that if you were a citizen of the Roman Empire, a Roman soldier had no right to compel you to carry his equipment. But if you were not a citizen, a soldier could come up to you standing there on the road and say, "Here's my sword, my shield, my backpack, everything I have. I want you to carry this for 1 mile." And you had no choice but to obey him. Well, one day Jesus was preaching, and I want you to notice what he told the apostles and all the other disciples. Matthew, please, 5, verse 41.
If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles.
If someone forces you, compels you to go with him 1 mile, volunteer to go the second mile. Can you imagine that? Jesus was telling all these Jews, you help this occupying military force. I can imagine the apostles thinking, Jesus, do you really expect us to help Roman soldiers? What would you think, brother, sister, if an enemy, a foreign power, occupied your country and compelled you to carry the equipment of soldiers? And Jesus says, hey, go ahead and carry the equipment for 1 mile. That's the law. But go beyond the law and carry their equipment the second mile. Well, Jesus could have responded, no, I don't expect you to help Roman soldiers. I expect you to love them. Oh, my. What demands. What ridiculous demands. He expected them to not only go with the soldiers 2 miles, but he expected them to love them. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 44.
But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Love your enemies. Well, I imagine the apostles and the disciples were wondering, Jesus, you're asking the impossible. We can't choose to love. I mean, I hate these Roman soldiers. I despise them. I want them out of my country as soon as possible. And you tell me to love them? Jesus, you're asking the impossible. Brother, sister, sometimes you might feel that God's asking the impossible when he tells you to forgive those who have hurt you, when he tells you to overlook an offense someone has hit you with. But listen to the words of 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3.
His commands are not burdensome.
The Bible plainly says that God's commands are not burdensome. They are not overwhelming. They are not impossible to keep. So I want to share with you this morning how we can choose to love. Normally, we associate love with a feeling, an emotional, a romantic feeling. True? There is a emotional aspect of love. But there's also an aspect of the intellect. We can choose to love. Well, We can choose to love because God's presence fills us with His love. You might not feel love, but you can choose to love and obey Jesus' command. Why? Because God's presence fills you with His love. Let's listen to this scripture from 1 John. In fact, we're going to read a portion of two verses. 1 John 4, verse 8 and verse 16. Here it describes God's nature.
God is love. Verse 16, God is love.
Twice. The scripture says God is love. Love isn't part of Him, a portion of Him. No, love is His essential being, His innermost person. Love fills everything God is. So that means that God is immeasurable love, infinite love. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love.
The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit or the product of the Holy Spirit is love. Love emanates from God. Love broadcasts from God because God is love. And so God moved into you when you gave your life to Jesus. God didn't move into you and leave His love in heaven. No, God brought Himself and everything that He is into us. So God's Spirit pours God's love into us. We're not talking about a love you manufacture, a love you create, a love you produce. No, God's Spirit pours God's own love into us. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse number 5.
And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us.
Look at that part of the verse that says, God has poured out His love. Not our love. Not the church's love. Not your neighbor's love. God has poured out His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. During their 3.5 years of following Jesus, the apostles never really got along very well. They all jealously guarded their position, their perceived position in the kingdom of God. Matthew wanted to be at Jesus' right hand. John wanted the same position. Peter wanted to be Jesus' confidant. Bartholomew desired the same thing. So you were always arguing. There was never a unity among the apostles while Jesus walked with them on earth. But look at the remarkable change in the apostles in Acts chapter number 2. The apostles have been born again, and now they receive something called the baptism into the Holy Spirit. And I want you to notice the remarkable change, the immediate change that took place in them after the baptism into the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse number 14. Here it says,
then Peter stood up with the 11.
Peter stood up to preach Jesus to the non-believers. But look at the verse. It says, Peter stood up with the 11. There was no more arguing about who's the greatest or who's the best. They stood up in unity to present the gospel to the world. And it all happened because the Holy Spirit poured Jesus' love into their hearts. And they were loving each other. True. But they were loving each other with the love of the Lord. I love this verse in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7. It describes you and me. It says,
God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline.
God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of love. It says plainly that God's presence brought God's love in you. God's love dwells in the believer whether or not you feel it. Listen to this word. Paul was writing to his dear Philippian church. Paul was in prison in Rome. He was writing to these believers back in the region we call Macedonia, Europe. Look at what he said in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 8.
God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus.
Paul said, I long for you. I yearn for your fellowship. I yearn for your success in the Christian life. But notice what else he said. I long for you with the affection of Jesus. Paul confessed that it was the love of Jesus in his heart. And Paul was loving these people with a superhuman love. A love that no human can manufacture. So, brother, sister, we can choose to love others because the love of God dwells in us, even when we don't experience it, feel it, or sense it. One time, when Dee and I were pastoring, a lady came by our house and told us about a vicious rumor that was going around about us, a rumor that was totally unfounded. Sounded like something that you'd hear on a soap opera. I said, let me guess who started this rumor. She said, go ahead. And I named a particular person. And this lady who was reporting to us about the rumor looked totally shocked. She said, how did you know? I said, well, I know this person is a new Christian. She comes from a criminal background. She actually saw her father murder her mother. And as an adult, she had received Jesus, but she was a brand new Christian. And I just guessed. Well, Dee and I didn't feel badly toward her. The love of God was in her heart. And we were loving her not with human love, but with God's love. So we went to her home. She lived near the Naval Air Station in our town. And unannounced, we knocked on the door, and she opened the door, and I said, hi, can we come in? We're just out in this party. Of your town, and we just want to say hi and visit with you. And we went inside and visited with her, and the atmosphere began to warm. It was very cold at first, very stiff. We asked her about her family. There was a photographic album on her coffee table. We said, hey, can we see some pictures of your family? We just visited with her. We didn't intend to bring anything about the rumor up. Finally, she brought out some cookies and probably some milk or coffee. And then we said, hey, let's read a psalm and then let's pray together. We did so and we left. Never even mentioned the rumor. But you know, our kindness to this lady killed the rumor. She continued going to church. Then the Navy moved her and her husband away. And we received two or three letters after she left telling us how much she loved us. She never knew that we knew she had started this vicious rumor. So you see, brother, sister, God's love is in you. Even if you can't forgive, God's going to help you forgive. Well, secondly, we can love others because God's love frees us from enslavement to mere human love. You see, human love is enslaved to treatment it receives from others. Listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew 5, verse 46 and 47.
If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that?
Jesus pointed out, if you love your friends only, what credit is that to you? Sinners do the same thing. Pagans, non-Christians, atheists, they love those who love them. Because, you see, human love is enslaved to the treatment it receives from others. But God's love ignores treatment it receives from others. God's love is able to free us from our enslavement to mere human love. If you hate those who hate you, that's human. But if you love those who hate you, that's divine. And that's the kind of love that God demands from us. You see, God's love ignores the treatment it receives from others. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We treated God horribly. We rejected Him. We cursed Him. We turned our backs on Him. We ignored His Word. And yet, what did He do? He ignored the way we treated Him, and He gave His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. That's the God kind of love. Let's read Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and 60. Here it says,
While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep.
Stephen was being stoned to death. Stones were pounding his life out of him. He was bleeding, bones protruding from his skin. Yet in all of this torture, the love of God was in his heart. And the love of God always ignores treatment it receives from others. As he was bleeding to death, Stephen said, "Don't lay this sin to their charge. Forgive them, God." That's the God kind of love. When Dolores and I lived in Singapore, Asia, we made friends with a Bible college president, Dr. Koichi Kitano. Brother Kitano told me a story that happened to him while he was in Singapore. He was preaching in a Methodist church. And after the service, now Brother Kitano was a guest speaker. He had never attended this Methodist church before. At the end of his sermon, he was standing in the front of the church, and a lady that he had never met came to him, and she was crying profusely. She took his hands in her hands. Brother Kitano didn't know what to do. Finally, he said, "What did I do, or what did you do? I don't know what's happening." The lady was crying and holding his hands and saying, "Please forgive me." Over and over, she requested Brother Kitano to forgive her. Finally, she was able to gain some composure. Brother Kitano said, "Please, ma'am, explain what's going on." This lady named Marion, a Malaysian, she said, "In World War II, I was about 5 or 6 years old. Japanese soldiers came to our town and began shooting people. I watched my father fall to the ground and bleed to death. And ever since then, I've hated Japanese. I've refused to buy Japanese products or food. In fact, when I saw in our church bulletin that you're Japanese, I decided not to come to the service. But finally, I relented, and I've been sitting on the back seat of the church tonight, hating you. The Holy Spirit showed me what an ugly person I am. And Dr. Kitano, please forgive me for hating you and your people." Brother Kitano started crying now. He said, "I should be asking your forgiveness. It was my people who killed your father." And everyone was weeping now. There was a crowd of people in the front of the Methodist church, all of them weeping and praising God because God had wrought a forgiveness that night. You see, God's love ignores treatment it receives from others. So Marion found freedom from her intense hatred of Japanese that night because the love of God had filled her heart. So, you can love others, you can forgive others, because God's love frees you from the treatment you receive from others, and God's love dwells in you. Thirdly, all things are possible for you because you believe that God's love dwells in you. Mark's Gospel, please, chapter 9, verse number 23.
Everything is possible for him who believes.
Everything is possible for you, Jesus said. Yes, we Christians love to reiterate over and over that all things are possible with God. But in this verse, Jesus says, all things are possible for you who believe. So, brother, sister, if you are having trouble forgiving others, you can forgive them. You can find the ability to forgive them because God's presence dwells in you and God brings his superhuman love into you. No. We cannot forgive by human effort, but we can forgive by believing that God's love is in us. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13.
I can do everything through him who gives me strength.
You can do everything. Put your name in there, James, Donna, whatever your name is. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So you can choose to love. You see, sometimes it's easy to love because we feel love. Sometimes it's really hard to love and it's difficult to forgive because we don't feel any love. But we release God's love that dwells in us by deliberately choosing to do so. We release God's indwelling love by deliberately choosing to do so. Love is a choice. Yes, love is a feeling. Sometimes, but not all the time. But when you don't feel the love of God that's in you, you can choose to believe that love is in there, and you can offer forgiveness. And you can get rid of your grudges and your dislike of people. Love is a choice. I was pastoring. I was doing very well as a young pastor. My church was growing. It was just flourishing, actually. But there was a neighboring church in another town and nearby, and the pastor there was older than me, and his church was struggling. And I allowed feelings of arrogance to get into my heart. I felt I was better than this other man, and I ignored him, and I didn't submit to his authority. But I went to Dallas, Texas. And there I attended a seminar, and during that seminar, the Holy Spirit began convicting me of my bad feelings toward this neighboring pastor. I returned from Dallas to my town, and I decided I was going to go to this brother and apologize. I was choosing to love. I went to him. I said, "Brother, can we have a talk?" He said, "Sure." We sat down, and I began weeping. Before I could say anything to him, tears began flowing from my eyes. And I began saying, "Forgive me for feeling I was better than you." I began to weep more profusely. I took my handkerchief out, and by the time I was through confessing to this man all my bad feelings toward him, there wasn't a dry thread in my handkerchief. I had chosen to love. And because I had chosen to love, the love of God in me was released. And I began feeling love for this brother. I told him, "Brother, from now on, if you ever need me to do anything for you, you call on me. I don't care if it's 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm going to be your servant." And from that time forward, I loved this man from my heart and with my head. And we became the best of friends. Well, God took Peter. Peter, who didn't like Roman soldiers one bit. God filled Peter with the Spirit of the resurrected Jesus. God filled Peter with the Holy Spirit. And then you know what God did? God demanded Peter to love a Roman soldier. This soldier's name was Cornelius. He was Italian. And God picked on Peter. Let me put it this way. God personally picked Peter to go tell Cornelius about salvation through Jesus Christ. I believe that God chose Peter because he wanted Peter to learn that love is a choice. Read with me. Acts chapter 10, verse number 28. Here Peter is speaking.
He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean."
God showed Peter, "I should not call anyone inferior." And Peter was choosing to love. He went to this home of Cornelius, and it was packed with Gentiles, with non-Jews. And Peter told him about salvation through Jesus. Now let's read Acts 10, verse 34.
"I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism."
God does not show favoritism, and neither can you, and neither can I. If we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to be Christians, we cannot show favoritism. We have to love those who mistreat us as much as we love those of our family. We have to forgive those who hurt us as much as we love those who never have hurt us, but have only done us favors. We have to love others with God's love. So, brother, sister, today is your chance to offer forgiveness. You can choose to love. The power of God is in you. You're a believer. The Spirit of Jesus is in you. You can do all things through Him who loves you. So right now, in your own words, say, God, I forgive. And then name that person. They don't have to hear it. They might not even know anything is wrong between you and them. But you know it. And right now, you just say, God, I forgive them for this or that. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. You forgave all our wicked sins because of the blood of Jesus. We didn't deserve Jesus. We couldn't have earned Jesus. But you gave Him freely to forgive us. Now, Father, right now, we come to you and we confess that we had bad feelings in our hearts toward others. We confess, Lord Jesus, that we have unforgiving feelings toward others. Jesus, cleanse us of these feelings. And we determine that we're going to love those who have mistreated us, disappointed us, or hurt us. Lord, thank you for helping us choose to love. In your wonderful name, Jesus, amen.